Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Let's start the show. We're here to have some fun and take your phone calls, all your sports takes and feelings. Bring them to us. We're waiting to have them. And of course, want to thank Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, sponsoring the hour. Good to be back with you, everybody. Hope you're having a great night out there. James behind the mic, solo show today, but I am not alone. I got all of you. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Thanks, everybody, for downloading that app. Got plenty to talk about today. We're talking baseball. We'll be talking Brewers, Rafters, MLB, all of the above. We'll get into some of that. I want to talk about Ovechkin breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals streak and some stats on that one. That is pretty interesting. Get into all those things. We're going to talk Twins maybe a little bit later as well. Basketball Hall of Fame. We'll talk about the NFL draft. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. It's your show, everybody. Call up, join the conversation. Let me know what is on your sports mind. We'll also get into our schedule a little bit later. I want to start with the national championship that is going to be played in just a couple of hours. The Florida Gators taking on the Houston Cougars, or otherwise known as the breaking of everybody's bracket. Even though Florida was the number one team going into all this, I didn't see anybody that had Florida winning this. and I don't know anybody except for maybe one or two people. It had the Houston Cougars in this situation. So I think that is kind of interesting, especially considering how I know that Houston is a number one. They're an interesting story. More on that in a moment. Everything is on the line tonight. It all wraps up the college basketball season. Women's side wrapped up yesterday. Men's side wrapping up tonight. 7:50, 8 o'clock, CBS. You can catch it. The Gators are looking for their first national championship since their back-to-back titles in 06 and 07 with recent Hall of Fame member Billy Donovan. And the Cougars are seeking their first in program history. That is very interesting to me. Because all the talk was about a week into this tournament was how NIL and transfer portals and all of this have ruined the Cinderella story in college basketball. And it's no longer there, doesn't exist, we'll never have it back, the sky is falling, blah, blah, blah. Well, the Florida Gators haven't been in this situation in a while, and if you've been paying attention to college basketball, it's been up and down as far as if they've been relevant since then. They are an SEC team. And they've certainly been here before. But Houston, if you take away that number one ranking, them being number one in their division, that's a Cinderella story. That's a Big 12 team. Nobody had a Big 12 team making it to the Final Four, you know, even with Houston being number one in defense. And they're a defensive team. This team has worked together for quite a while. If you're not just reading headlines and you're not just listening to talking heads on the Mouse Network and everything, you might actually see that there has been a Cinderella here this whole time. And it's kind of interesting. And it's also an outlier. It's one season. You want to cry that the sky is falling just because it rained one day. That's what you're doing basically with this. I'm going to enjoy it. And hopefully it's a bit more of a competitive game than yesterday's game with South Carolina and UConn. And I say that not as an insult to South Carolina by any means. Again, Dawn Staley is one of the last people in the world I want to mess with. But it wasn't really the game that we were hoping for. Here's hoping this is a good game. I think Houston has a strong chance in this one, as we see defense oftentimes plays a big part in these games. Let's hear what you think. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
You know what the talking heads say. What? Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was. In very big suits.
Yeah, hey, we're almost there. Yeah. I got a fun baseball stat. I was watching reruns of the Dan Le Batard show the other day, and I saw something that was interesting. There was a start back in 2008. It was on ESPN. It was supposed to be Randy Johnson versus Greg Maddux.
Whoa.
And both starting pitchers were scratched, but they were replaced by a couple newbies, some 24-year-old guy named Max Scherzer And he was starting against a 20-year-old Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, my. Wow. Oh, man, is that cool. Wow, is that cool.
To think that Randy Johnson and Greg Maddux was the initial lineup, and then you get two future Hall of Famers to replace him. I thought that was a really cool story.
That's amazing. I never heard that before. That's wild. And I, you know, that for one, I mean, the idea, that's got to be maybe the only time in MLB history that you were going there hoping to see two Hall of Famers and you still saw two Hall of Famers. That's pretty cool. And you know that there were some people in the stands, man, I am so angry. I came here to say, I got to see these guys. I got to see this Scherzer guy with the two colored eyes.
Like some kid was going there hoping to see Greg Maddux, and he's all bummed out. 10 years later, he's like, "Whoa, that was really cool."
And you know that there's also somebody who said, "Yeah, I knew they were going to be good." But there's always that guy. There's always that guy that has to be the guy that, like, "Oh, I knew they were going to be good. I knew they were." That is a wild set. Thank you for telling me that, man. I didn't hear that one. I didn't hear that one. That's awesome. Appreciate it. Appreciate the call as always.
All right, have a good one, guys.
You too, man. You too. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. That I don't know if I'll be able to top that one as far as a story of the show. Maybe that should be our new thing. Every sports show has a stat of the show or something like that that we're just barely on the fringes of copyright laws of messing with. Maybe we should have story of the show. Nobody does that. The stories in baseball or in sports, I mean, are... Now, I always joke about this with my dad and my papa, because I come from a very big sports family. I feel like I've always been cheating with my love of sports, because I love sports, and I like winning. I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool to see your favorite team winning a championship. That feels pretty darn good. There's not many feelings in the world like that. But man, the stories. That's what brings me to sports. If all it was zeros and ones or scores or wins and losses, I don't know how into it I would be. I don't know how into it any of us would be. It's the stories that bring me in. So maybe that's what we should be doing. Story of the show. You may have just helped us set off something there, man. Nicely done. I have my stat of the show a little bit later. It's not as good. I don't think it's as good. I like that. That was a cool story. Continuing with the men's basketball tournament and the women's basketball tournament, wrapping up of that. Congratulations to Paige Beckers and UConn and Gino. The line in the Batman Dark Knight movie of you live long enough to the hero becomes the villain. It's interesting to see this go the other way with certain athletes and certain coaches. And Gino Auriemma, at least when I remember Pat Summitt in women's college basketball, and for me and to many people, she was the head of this and really the moral compass almost and so many of the great things that we loved about women's basketball. And Gino Auriemma was the kind of the villain, and UConn was a bit of a villain and stuff in some ways, at least outside of the East Coast. Seeing him win yesterday and his emotions with Paige Beckers and his emotions talking about it, I feel like, and granted, he has nothing to lose, but I'd say in the last handful of years, he's been so just, more humble and more appreciative of the moment and more taking a third person perspective almost of his own life and his own career along with women's college basketball. And he really does seem to appreciate that the game has gotten so much love and appreciation in the last couple of years, even with UConn not being at the front of it. I don't know, watching it, the look on his face, seeing him cry and seeing him being interviewed for over 20 years, I believe. It just it felt like that was the most genuine we've ever seen him, the most real we've ever seen him. It did make me wonder a little bit about retirement and if he's thought about that, if it's a possibility for him. I don't know. We'll see. But do you put him on the Mount Rushmore of college basketball coaches? I think, you certainly put him on there if you're just breaking this down to women and men's. But I like the idea of doing this where it's top four, it's Mount Rushmore of college basketball coaches, not just women's or men's, but both sides. John Wooden obviously leads the front. Dean Smith has to probably be brought in there. I mentioned Pat Summitt. I think she belongs up there. You know, there's a lot of great coaches. There's no wrong answers. As long as you have John Wooden on your list, you're okay. As long as John Wooden is leading your list, because there's still as much great as Coach K, Dean Smith, so many great college basketball coaches. I love John Thompson. He was my favorite. Nobody has still topped what John Wooden did. Nobody has still topped what John Wooden meant to this game. So, interesting. Are you going to watch tonight? That's the other question I have. And only honest answers. 715-424-2600. Let me know if you're watching and what you think of the game. Let's go ahead and let's change things up a little bit.
Well, KC was winning. Hank Aaron was beginning. One Robbie going out, one coming in. Kiner and Midget Goodell, the Thumper and Mel Parnell. And Ike was the only one winning down in Washington. I'm talking baseball. Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller.
Let's talk a little baseball, everybody. As you get used to that music, because we've got Rafters and Brewers and MLB to talk all spring and summer long. And we are excited about it. Did it just get a little warmer in here? Or do I have a fever? It just got a little warmer, because just talking baseball brings it out, doesn't it? Ah, there's something about it. Let's go ahead and talk Rafters first before we get into Brewer talk. Or you want to do this reverse? I'm excited to talk Rafters, so that's why I led with the Rafters. Let's start with Brewers. You heard our friend Mike Clemens talking about this in his sports break. A trade. You know, who knows if it's going to be a big trade or not. I have this tendency to make everything a big deal or not. But certainly another arm. I think that's what matters. Former first-round pick, so that's always nice to see. And I think that the Brewers coaching staff, pitching staff, has the ability to turn a lot of players who may not be able to make it in some teams, make it with the Brewers. Quinn Priester, former number 7 prospect per MLB Pipeline, or sending the number 7 prospect, outfielder Yolfi Rodriguez. That's a big price to pay, it sounds like. At the same time, this arm that they're bringing in is a 24-year-old, and if he works out even a bit, you kind of have to think it's worth it, because you got to play for right now. The situation that the Brewers are in with their pitching staff and the injuries, there's a number of teams that are in similar situations right now or were last year. Dodgers were able to overcome it. Of course, the Dodgers have about 3 or 4 Hall of Famers on their team, so not really a fair comparison. But when it comes to the Brewers, we're seeing more offensive firepower from that side of the bat. And if you can't get an arm, get a bat. Like, it feels like, and I can't put my finger, I can't say this exactly, because I have no, you know, connections or anything like that with the New York Yankees clubhouse. I don't know a lot of people. I got a friend from the Bronx, but that's about as close as I got a connection to New York, to the Yankees. But it feels like the Yankees said, okay, we're not going to be able to get all the starting pitching we want. Well, let's just beat them. Let's just score more than they do. Let's just score more runs. Right? It isn't as if the Brewers are the only team in a bad situation with pitching. I think you would have a harder time naming me 5 teams with great starting pitching, and I mean 1 through 4. At least 1 through 3. 3 great starters that you can count on. Name me 5 teams that have that. Brewers are not alone in this situation. And I'm not saying this is going to win you a World Series, but it certainly makes you more competitive. At least you throw a bunch of bats at it. Get as many, you know, hitters as you can. And you get the arms that you can, because no matter how many bats you got, somebody's got to throw the ball. It's the rules of the game. Haven't gotten around that one yet. Brewers might have to find out, though. And this is something, too, that falls on a front office. If I'm the GM of this team, I'm taking this personal. I'm taking this, regardless of, well, you can't predict injuries, this and that, whatever. That's your job. That's your job. If 2 minutes from now, everything goes dead, on this radio station. And the board, I shouldn't be saying this, but it does. And I stand here and I'm like, well, and I just throw my hands up in the air. Well, this is crazy. Well, I didn't see this coming. I have no idea what to do. I know what I signed up for. That's live radio. You've got to be able to adapt. You've got to be able to roll with it. You heard Terry and I doing it last week. You'll probably hear me do it again. That's live radio, baby. That's the way this is. And I know what I signed up for. And if you are in the front office of any sports team on any level, I don't feel like you get to say, well, we didn't see that coming. There are outliers. There are things like there are once in a million things happening. But starting pitchers not being able to make it through the first month of the season is not something that's new. And spoiler alert, everybody, it isn't even new for the last 5-10 years. And this has always been an issue, especially in the beginning of the season, when it comes to injuries. I feel like this has been something that my whole life I've experienced as a starting pitcher going down. Now, it hasn't been at this rate or this clip. It hasn't been as severe sometimes. A lot of the injuries I'm thinking of are oftentimes things that are just, bumps and bruises, not Tommy John. But still, if you are in the front office, you should be taking this personal. And you should be leading from the top, taking the hits for Pat Murphy and this franchise. Hey, those opening games, those are on me. I didn't put together a strong enough team. I didn't get us enough arms. Like, where's the accountability on that? So much of front offices and management, and this isn't just in sports, but it's almost like they took their lead from sports. There's a lot of passing the buck going on. A lot of, it's not me, it's them. Accountability matters. And, not for nothing, but it earns a lot with fans. I mean, tell me I'm wrong. Would you rather your front office lie to you or have some accountability? Because if you want to be lied to, tell me. I don't mean to be speaking out of turn here. But I feel like every fan base, especially Midwest fan bases, would like a little honesty. I think that goes a lot farther. We'll see how this young man develops and how he plays. I imagine he'll be out there pretty soon, this Quinn Priester. See how it goes. And as far as the Rodriguez kid, number 7 prospect in the pipeline to go into the Red Sox, you can be keeping an eye on him just like they were keeping an eye on Jackson Churio over here to see what happened with that. Wanted to mention this, too, before we get into the Rafters talk. I thought this is pretty cool, and I don't say that very often when it comes to Bob Costas, to be honest. But the Milwaukee Brewers will hold a public ceremony honoring the life of longtime broadcaster Bob Uecker before their August 24th game with the San Francisco Giants. Brewers principal owner Mark Anastasio had announced plans for a summer ceremony in January after Uecker passed. The date wasn't revealed until today. Emmy-winning broadcaster Bob Costas and longtime friend and former colleague of Uecker's will host the event. The ceremony will feature appearances by special guests as well as videos with rarely seen content from Uecker's life. All ticketed fans will receive a lapel pin featuring the design of the Brewers uniform patch honoring Uecker. Baseballs and bases featuring a Uecker celebration logo will be used during the game. A raffle will benefit 3 of Uecker's favorite charities, Wounded Warrior Project, the ALS Association, and Medical College of Wisconsin, Bob Uecker Chair for Cancer Research. We'll be talking more about this as we get closer to it, but certainly want to mark this one on the calendar. This is going to be a big moment. This is going to be a good moment. And very cool. Very well done. I don't know how you go about, really, how do you encompass somebody like this? How do you honor somebody like this that not only meant so much to baseball, but to the state, to entertainment? On so many layers, so many levels, this guy was. How you best honor him, I don't know. But I feel like this is a very good shot at it. This is a good attempt and well done. And I think that a lot of the honoring that really could go to Bob Uecker comes down to the fans. I saw somebody tweet this the other when he first passed, or at least shortly after, about the idea of the 250 batting average being known as the Euchre line, or something along those lines. Like, that's the kind of way I feel like that the best way to honor Bob Euchre is fans coming up with their own version of the best way to honor him, and something that is tongue in cheek, something that he would laugh at, something that he would enjoy. Let's be honest, something that he would probably come up with. All of this is great, and I think this and more is even better. And I do tip my baseball cap to Bob Costas for doing this, and Major League Baseball and the Brewers. But I think when it comes right down to it, I think the best way to honor him is still in the works. It's going to be developed maybe even over the years. It may even take some time to build. But as it goes on, I think more and more you're going to see that there's going to be ways to honor him, or we will find a way to honor him. And it'll be done by the fans. But he's missed. There's no getting around it. He's missed. And thought of. Not just by baseball. We did this story on Midday Magazine earlier today. I'm sorry, on the morning show earlier today. Seth and Melissa and I. Be sure to catch us 8 to 10 every Monday through Friday. Shameless plug. We were talking about the Mr. Belvedere cast, the surviving members of the Mr. Belvedere class, getting together and honoring him. And they came to Milwaukee to do it. It was cool. It was a cool moment that they had, and great to see that they're still doing that. How would you honor him? What way would you like to? How would you like to honor Bob Euchre? How are you honoring Bob Euchre? Is there a way you're doing it? I know one of the things that I wanted to do when we made a new commercial for Playmakers, I wanted it to end with Euchre's voice. We have a bobblehead of him that I have set right in front of me. So anytime I'm doing this show, and especially if it's a show like this and I'm solo, honestly, I can just look up at that. And especially, you know, not just an inspiration or anything like that, but a reminder. A reminder of how fortunate we are to get to do this for a living. It's never going to be lost on me. I can genuinely say that there's never been a day that I've turned on this microphone that I haven't appreciated being able to turn on this microphone. In many ways, I'm not even supposed to be here. So I really appreciate it. And I feel like Euchre was so good about that. I heard his last game. I heard his last innings. And I will say, even from there to the first time I heard him when I was a little kid, that excitement, that energy, that joyousness, that love of the game, it never faded. He would only be able to answer if it truly did. But I'll tell you, as he did his job, because if it did, he didn't let the listeners know. If he was having a bad day, he didn't let the listeners know. You got 100% Bob Euchre every single at bat, every single pitch, every single inning. You can't ask for much more. He will be missed. We will be thinking of him. We will find ways to honor him. And I'm looking forward to hearing how you guys are going to be doing that throughout the season. For now, let's go ahead and take a quick time out. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods sponsoring this hour. Yeah, we're big time. We got two sponsors, man. Yeah. We'll be back with more show in just a little bit. Get those sports takes and feelings ready. Remember, everybody, just a quick PSA for you as we're going to get ready for our commercial break. Sports takes and feelings have a shelf life. They have an expiration date. You don't want to keep those inside for too long, man. That can go bad. Let them out. Give us a call. 715-424-2600. We'll talk to you soon right here on Playmakers. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR, live and direct. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, Family Natural Foods, sponsoring the hour. And a thank you to all of you for listening and joining us on this Monday. How's it treating you? Call up and let us know. 715-424-2600. We're going to get into Rafters baseball in a little bit. We're talking Twins in sports in a little bit. Not the Minnesota Twins, just Twins. We'll talk Minnesota Twins when Seth is in with us. We will get into the NFL draft. The Basketball Hall of Fame, Naismith Hall of Fame, was announced. Some new members entering there. But I want to get to my stat of the show. And it ain't as good as the story we had earlier. But, of course, you know me. I'm a hockey head. I'm going to go hockey with this one. And by now, most of you have heard, Alex Ovechkin did not want to waste time or wait around for the weekend or anything like that. He got that record done, like, right away. Alex Ovechkin, it helped that he was playing the Blackhawks. Alex, I could say that. That's my team. Alex Ovechkin surpassed Wayne Gretzky's NHL all-time goals record with his 895th goal in his 1,487th game. That is our stat of the show, in major part because it is also the same number of games Gretzky played in his career to break the record. What are the odds? Like, literally, somebody tell me, what are the odds of that? Because that would be my stat of the show if I had that. Because it's got to be one in a bazillion chance. Like, if I was going to a meeting in Hollywood to try to sell this story, and I was going to tell them, and somebody's going to break the all-time goals record when nobody thought anybody could break it, and it's going to be this guy, Alex Ovechkin, and he's going to actually do it in the same games it took Wayne Gretzky. Nobody, like, no, that's unrealistic. Nobody's going to buy that. We're not even that. We can't even turn that into a Hallmark movie. Nobody would buy that. Like, only life is stranger than fiction. I love it. How amazing is that? The same amount of games he did it in. And I wonder too. And I don't know that Ovechkin would share this or not. But I would love to know if that was a driving force for him. If that meant something to him. I know it would to me. I know that if I had broken this record and it took me even 10 more games to do it, I wouldn't feel the same about it. I'd feel like, well, I would always feel like, well, I got 10 extra games. You know, Gretzky did it in, you know, 10 sooner. If I'm going to break the record, I want to do it in the same amount of time, if not shorter amount of time than they did. One of the troubles of stats going forward in literally every single sport is games played. That has changed for every single sport. And along with a billion other factors, that is probably the biggest, if not one of the biggest ones, of why stats are cool. We love stats in sports. They're fun. I mean, they don't mean what they used to. They don't. There was a time where every kid in America pretty much knew how many home runs, Hank Aaron's all-time home runs number. There's certain stats that stand out in sports. You know, and I don't know that they matter as much anymore. And it's not because some of them won't be broken or anything like that. I do think that there are some unbreakable goals. No pun intended. But I do wonder, you know, where we go from here. It's interesting because there's so much made of analytics and numbers and how numbers have ruined sports and numbers have made sports better or what have you. And at the same time, we seem to care less and less about actual stats. I don't know. It's interesting. A big congratulations to the Great Eight and Alex Ovechkin. I think deserving, certainly on the ice, but just meaning him as a player, as a person. I love that he has stayed in Washington his whole career and what that meant to him. And it's been pretty cool to see. And not for nothing, the Washington's a good team this year. They got a nice squad. I'd keep an eye on them in the playoffs. I wonder if there's a relief tier two. You got to imagine, right, that there's a relief that this is finally over. Because this is not an attention guy. This is not somebody who needs the cameras on him 24/7. I think it's pretty great. And speaking of great, I've been really lucky, like a lot of you out there, that in the time that I have grown up, I have gotten to see, if not the greatest in a particular sport, one of the greatest. And I didn't get to see Gordie Howe play like my dad did, but I did get to see Wayne Gretzky. And I've never seen an athlete like him on the ice before. It's not just that Gretzky was fast or agile, had hands like you'd never seen, could see the ice better than anybody, like a good quarterback that can see the whole field. Worked both ways, great on defense. It's not just that it's one of those things. It's that it's all of those things. And all of those things at a 10, and from the first moment he touched NHL ice. Gretzky's greatness was great his whole career. Gretzky's greatness could never be touched. And I love the approach to this from, like, we all kind of get that. And everybody is very quick to point out Alex Ovechkin and goals scored. Nobody's saying he's the greatest of all time, just the greatest goal scorer. And I think that's pretty cool. And an appreciation of how great Wayne Gretzky was. Because if I had to have a favorite stat, it might be the fact that even with this move by Alex Ovechkin, he's nowhere near Wayne Gretzky on the all-time points list. Because if Wayne Gretzky never scored a goal in his career, he would still be the leader in the all-time points because of his assists. I mean, that's true greatness. Pretty amazing career for both individuals. Let's talk rafters. Let's get to some rafter baseball. 49 days, 1 hour, 18 minutes, and 4, 3, 2, 1 seconds from opening day for your Wisconsin Rapids rafters. Very excited about that. And encourage you to be on the Rafters email list and get in on their newsletter and be in their email club, if you will. Because if you do, you already know where I'm going next. Yeah, the Rafters announced their 2025 promotion schedule. Jake was in last week talking about this a little bit with us. And we'll have them in, players in the front office of the Rafters in real soon, talking more and more about this in the season as we get closer to it. Well, let's just go ahead and touch on some of the highlights, and I'd love to know if there's any one of these in particular you're looking forward to more than another. What are you excited about with the Rafter season? Because honestly, I think, like a lot of you out there, I'm just waiting for opening day. Like, I have got no expectations yet or anything like that. I'm just excited to get this season going. And it does get going on May 26th. And opening day will feature the first 1,000 fans. Through the gate, we'll grab an oar with them with a mini oar giveaway presented by McCain Foods. We have to have one of those, right? We got to get one of those. I don't know how we're going to do it. We got to get one of those. I need it right next to Euchre. I need it right up here, next to Euchre. That is a cool idea. It's a very cool idea. That's a great idea, you guys. Nice work. May 31st, we talked about this last week with Jake. ACW Wrestling pregame matches featuring the stars of ACW Wrestling and former WWE Cruiserweight Champion Hornswoggle. Wrestlers will be available for autographs and photos during the game. Again, that is May 31st. June 7th, Anyone But Kelsey Night, a celebration of the world's favorite popular and or your least favorite tight end. If you have a Travis Kelsey jersey, you can trade it in for a new Rafters jersey. That's a fun promotion. I think that's a fun promotion. I love this one. June 14th, Agriculture Night, a celebration of all things ag. The Rafters will be wearing specialty jerseys that will be auctioned off during the game. Those are fun jerseys, by the way. Those are some pretty cool ones that they got lined up for that. And appreciate them doing this. Any chance to tip our hat to our agriculture industry and our farmers and everybody involved with it. Always got to take that opportunity. July 11th, this is my night. Halfway to Halloween night. Pre-game trick or treating, a Rafters costume contest, specialty jerseys that will be auctioned off, and a post-game fireworks show. I have not gotten to see those jerseys, but I know I want one. I already know I want one. I don't know what they look like. I don't know what the theme is or colors or anything like that, but you had me at Rafters and Halloween. That immediately you won me over. July 12th. Now, this is we talked about this one a little bit with the gang when Jake and Gwen were in with us. You knew some of your new front office at the Rafters. And I did a little digging after the conversation, and I have never heard of anything like this. I know that they wanted to, you know, give credit some directions, but I find this really unique. July 12th, Renew Your Vows Night. The biggest wedding bash Wisconsin Rapids has ever seen, including a post-game vow renewal ceremony of one lucky couple entered to win the opportunity to renew your vows at Winter Field. It's awesome. I admit I am a foolish romantic, so maybe some of that is playing into this a little. My journalistic integrity may be a little bit skewed. I own that. I admit it. But I think that's kind of cool. I think that's a lot of fun. They got some really cool things lined up for that one. July 27th, Kids TV Takeover. Come out and meet your favorite cartoon characters as they take over Winterfield. That'll be a blast. That's going to be a good time. It's been a while since I've really been in this realm, but I know that Bluey's got to be there, right? Bluey has to be there. Yeah. So they're going to have some big names there. August 1st, Mashers Night. For one night only, the Rafters will become the Central Wisconsin Mashers, including specialty jerseys that will be auctioned off. And that game for that day and that week, as you hear us, you know, previewing and going over our sports schedule and everything, I'm going to call them that. I'm going to say tonight, 6:05, we'll have the Central Wisconsin Mashers on the radio for you. We gotta keep up the bit, you know? That's a fun idea. Those jerseys are wild, too. And then August 6th, National Night Out Fan Appreciation. Come out to Winterfield and celebrate National Night Out with the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department and Rafters. They'll be doing the jersey off our backs auction. And they'll wrap up the regular season at Winterfield with a fireworks finale. There's a lot of other great things going on, like weekly things. With the Rafters, Military Mondays are back. There's so many other great promotions as well. And, of course, in between innings, they got all kinds of cool things going on. Single game tickets are on sale right now. Get them and get ready. Ticket packages are also available for those in mind. Encourage you to get those tickets. And we'll meet you at Winterfield all summer long. And if you can't make it to Winterfield, keep in mind, every hit, every pitch, every win of Rafter baseball right here at WFHR, where it's always been, where it belongs. Love our Rafters. Cannot wait. Going to be fun. Let me know what you think of the promotion schedule. What are you looking forward to? And as we wrap up a little Rafter baseball talk here, I do want to remind everybody that if you are interested in being a host family, and I'm not sure, I don't have the most recent stats and if they're all booked up, if they have enough host families for this year or not. But even if they do, there's always next year and the year after. It is a great way to impact your community, to help our Rafters and be a part of things. And from everything we hear from people that have been host families, just a fun, special tie to have with this individual and a real forever family member. Somebody who, you know, just always, you're always going to have an appreciation for, and they're going to have an appreciation for you, and kind of a cool connection to have with your Rafters. Encourage anybody and everybody that is able to be a host family, whether it's for the Rafters or maybe it's for the River Kings. Any way you can impact, just, you know, doing that. We all understand what you're doing and opening up your doors to one of these individuals. It's a kind and great thing to be able to do. And right away, a great way to impact your community. These kids come here, they bring their talent and help our economy, help our taxes, all of the above. It's a pretty cool thing to be able to be a part of. Encourage you to go to northwoodsleague.com. Find out more about being a host family, the promotion schedule, get your tickets, and of course, keep it right here. We'll be talking Rafter baseball all spring and summer long. Let's talk a little Twins. And no, not the Minnesota Twins. I save all that for Seth. I'm going to dare talk Minnesota Twins when he's not even in the room. That would be mean. Wouldn't that be mean? I don't know if it'd be mean, but it also would be a waste on my part because he would know so much more than I would. But we're talking actual Twins. Today on the morning show in our birthday anniversary club, we are talking about celebrity birthdays. And today, Tiki and Rondi Barber turned 50. Both retired NFL stars. They were stars. I think that's fair to say. And it got me thinking about Twins in sports. And this is nothing new. We've seen Twins in sports pretty much no matter what age you are out there, your whole life. Even in state, we have Brooke and Robin Lopez with the Milwaukee Bucks. So we've had this in sports and had this plenty of times. And I think that we talk about this a lot with father and son and who was better, or just even, you know, noting the connection of a Ken Griffey Sr. and Jr., or even recently with LeBron and Bronny. But I don't know if we get it. I don't know. Maybe this has been a conversation for a long time and I've just never been a part of it. But who do you think were the most successful twins in sports history? Huh? Oh, I hear those wheels turning out there. That's an interesting question, isn't it? Yeah, I don't get those very often. I don't come up with stuff like that very often. I'm a little proud of that one. Now, I think it's only fair to include all sports. And you know what? If you want to include coaches, like the Ryan brothers or something like that, or the Harbaughs, that's fine with me. I don't think there's a wrong answer on this list. I think it's just kind of fun and interesting to look at. Whether you're talking about Rondi and Tiki Barber and Devin and Jason McCourtney in the NFL. How about the Pouncies? In the NBA, I meant the Lopez brothers. Now, whatever answers you have on this list, if we're doing a list of who has the greatest hair for twins, the twins with the best hair in all of sports history, it's hand down the Lopez twins. Now, am I a little biased on this one? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As somebody who basically has their hair. Yes. I don't care. I still stand by it. They're the best hair for twins in all of sports history. But who had the best careers? Combined careers. Do you put Jose and Ozzie Canseco in that list? But in sports with the Lundqvists or the Sedins. How about those? You could even go outside of this. In tennis, there's Bob and Mike Bryan. There's Coco and Kelly Miller in basketball. Forgot about them. This has been a thing, but I don't know. It feels like when you look at the history of this, when it has happened, one individual is better than the other, or one stands out more than the other. I think the Lopezes have had a bit of a similar career, but Brooke has had a better career, I think it's fair to say. But the Barbers may have an argument here. The McCourtneys as well, especially when you look at Super Bowl titles and wins and stuff. But both Rondé and Tiki at one point in their careers were top five at their position, I would say. Tiki is maybe not. I'm not going to fight you on that one if you don't think he was ever a top five running back. I'm looking at it and I'm making an argument that he could be. Top 10 maybe is a better way to put it. But the Pouncies are up there a little bit too. And the Ryans, I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting list. What do you think? Let me know. Call up and join the conversation. 715-424-2600. We'll take our final timeout of the game. But that's all right. We can make it to the game. We'll make it to the end of the game without timeouts. We'll be fine. What could happen? What could go wrong? Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, Family Natural Foods, sponsoring the hour. Got a little less than 10 minutes left in the quarter. Let's go ahead and take some calls. Wrap up the game strong. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Wrapping up our twins conversation, just a couple of more to mention here. Taylor and Tyler Rogers, twins for the San Francisco Giants. Interestingly, I believe one of them was righty and one of them was a lefty. I think that might be one of the only reasons I remember that. I'm not trying to be mean. Just Marcus and Markieff Morris both had strong NBA careers. Coco and Kelly Miller had good careers as well in the WNBA. Played 12 seasons, I think, each. There are some other honorable mentions here. I mentioned the Lundqvist twins, both of them. Where's my other one here? Harvey and Horace Grant. As a diehard Chicago Bull fan, I am ashamed that I did not think of Harvey when I thought of the twins here. Harvey and Horace Grant. Great careers for them. Recently, you had the Cavender sisters over in Miami. And I think they played a couple of places, but I believe their last season they played in Miami. But we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Herbert and Wilfred Baddeley. Oh, yes. We all remember the Baddeley twins. They won four doubles championships at Wimbledon from 1891 to 1896. Wilford also won the singles title at Wimbledon three times. Who could forget? There's some great pictures of these twins, by the way. Not only do they look identical, they have some amazing mustaches. Don't see a lot of mustaches in tennis. Don't see a lot of facial hair in tennis. Now that I think about it. Maybe a beard here or there, but you don't see a lot of that. If I was a twin, I feel like I would grow the opposite facial hair of my twin. I feel like I'd be a bad twin. Hopefully I'm a good sibling. You know, I just talked to my little brother a little bit ago. I love my brother and sister. My backbone and my backbeat. But I don't know if I'd be a good twin. I don't know if I would be or not. Let's take a look at the NBA, the Naismith Hall of Fame, class of 2025, just recently announced. A couple of big names, as always, brought in. Carmelo Anthony and Dwight Howard lead the list, along with Sue Bird and Maya Moore. Some people are arguing it's maybe one of the greatest of all time. I don't know why they're arguing it. It's one of the greatest classes of all time. Sue Bird and Maya Moore already make it that. Carmelo Anthony and Dwight Howard add to it. It's not the other way around. I have heard seen a lot of headlines and heard a lot of people do it the opposite way. I don't mean any disrespect to Carmelo or Dwight Howard. Melo is a multiple-time world champion, an Olympic champion. He's won a title in college. Dwight Howard had a very strong career, but I would like to think that even they would admit that compared to Sue Bird or Maya Moore, I mean, my God. So that's a pretty cool list. An exciting list, too, as we see some of these WNBA legends like Sue Bird go in. And a little weird to think of Carmelo already being at this point. I feel like it really wasn't that long ago that he was playing, but it'll be cool. Enshrinement weekend is September 5th and 6th in Connecticut at the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. This got me thinking, a question that I believe Randy and I brought up early on, and maybe in our first dozen shows when we were back when this was called Coffee and Sports. What Hall of Fame would you go to if you would choose to go to? Which one would you like to go to? Which ones have you gone to? I've only been to the Football Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. I haven't been to any of the other ones. I will say I'd like to go to every single one of them. I think all of them are interesting and have things that definitely would keep me there for hours and busy for days. But just speaking on the one that I went to, I cannot encourage you enough to check out the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, it was 20-some years ago. I was a senior in high school when I went there, so that's 96. So it's been a while. A lot longer than 20 years ago. But I loved it. I enjoyed it. As soon as you open the doors and you walk in, there's this gigantic Jim Thorpe statue. I just immediately earned my respect, and I thought it was pretty cool. And you talk about something for everybody. I have not been to the Packers Hall of Fame, but I've seen pictures and I've seen a lot of video of it. It looks amazing. But you're a Packer fan. You got to check it out. There's some pretty darn cool stuff there. And when it comes to the history of football, both the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears have integral history intertwined with each other and the NFL to the point that I don't think that you have an NFL without them. I really don't. It's very crazy and science fiction to say that in 2025, but if you've been alive for a while, you remember when the football was not the number one game in town. And if you read your history, it took them a long time to get people to come to these games and to care about this sport. A huge part of what sold the NFL was, everybody with me? The story. The rivalry. There weren't a lot of rivalries in football, or even in sports for that matter, early on. But everybody loves a mashup, a matchup, a hero versus villain. What good is Superman without his villains? What good is Batman without his villains? Or any character in any movie? You got to have it. And for some, it's one, and for others, it's the other. But the rivalry exists, and the creation of that, I believe, is what gave the NFL a heartbeat and got people truly engaged. The story. I think story of the show. I think that might be something we got there. I think I might try to come up with that, or at least story of the week. But there's a lot of really cool stories out there, and a lot of really good stories in sports, by the way. I know when Bill Walton passed, we wanted to do a Bill Walton good story of the week. That was back when we only had an hour a week with you. We've been very lucky to have these extra hours. We've been very fortunate, Evan. I think we've made very good use of it. And I know we have, because you've told me so. And we got two sponsors. So, I mean, come on. Big thank you to those sponsors, Quality Plus Printing, and, of course, our friends over at Family Natural Foods. We'll be back on Wednesday for more show. Have a great night, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.